title of the message today is Equal But Different. Would you please say that out loud? Say equal but different. And today we're going to talk about the role of women. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 in the New Living Translation says this: So God created human beings in his own image. Isn't that a wonderful verse that you're created in the image of God? You're a child of God. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. Would you please say male and female? And so I think that in our society and in our culture, it's important for us to pause and simply say that biblically, God is very, very clear that there are only two genders. Say amen to that. So God has created us either male or female, and we are created in the image of God. So there's male and female. We're different, but we are equal. So listen to Galatians 3, 26 to 28, and this is out of the Contemporary English Version. All of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And when you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way you put on new clothes. Faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you equal with each other. Again, would you please say equal but different? So we're equal with each other, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free person, a man or a woman. And so we're equal but different. We clearly have different roles. God created us differently. So what do we mean when we say a role, when we say that men and women have different roles in life? Well, a few different definitions. First, it's like a part to play, as in a movie. If somebody plays a role, they're playing a part. So it's a part to play as in a movie. We also mean a role to be like a function performed in a particular operation, as in a welder or a carpenter. They have a particular function that they perform. And then we mean it very clearly. This is a definition of a role. It is a socially expected behavior pattern determined by society. And so all through the centuries and cultures and society, we see definitions of roles. As in a doctor, a teacher. A doctor has a role to play. A teacher has a role to play in society. A parent, a husband, a wife, a man, and a woman. And so this is the definition of a role. So on the level of humankind, we're all equal. Let's say it again, equal, but we're different. We have different roles to play. So let me explain this a little bit further. I think we'd all agree that we're all different. We all have different personalities, and we all have different styles, the way we live, the way we do things. Let's look at some examples of that. Our communication style. Now, I'm going to give you some generalizations on the spectrum, but you might be somewhere in the middle. You might be a melange of the two. But the communication style, you typically have somebody that lets it all out or they keep it all in. You might be somewhere in the middle, but these are generalizations. How about a living style? Some people are very, very spontaneous. They want to be spontaneous in the things that they do, and then there's other people that are planners. How about financial style? Some people are spenders and some people are savers. Have you started noticing if you're married today, you're probably married to the opposite? God has put you together to balance each other. How about your social style? Some people want to be at everything, every social gathering. Other people would prefer to stay at home. How about an entertainment style? Some people scroll and other people like to pick a program. How about an exercise style? Some people like to run and other people will say, hey, I prefer to walk. How about spiritually, a prayer style? Some people are loud and other people are quiet. We have churches that are loud, churches that are quiet. We have different personalities. So we have personalities and we have different living styles. So we would all agree that we're different in that regard. And so we celebrate those differences. We celebrate our different personalities. We celebrate our different lifestyle. In fact, if you're married today, I would just say the sooner that you can learn to appreciate and celebrate that, the better off you'll be. The longer that you go in your marriage and get frustrated and keep trying to change the other person, don't misunderstand, you can meet each other halfway and balance each other and grow together. But the longer you try to change the other person to see life the way you are, the more frustrated you're going to be. But realize that God has put you together with somebody probably that is the opposite in order to balance you, in order for you to learn and grow. So at a general level, we're all very, very different. Now, we do want to say this, that men and women are different. You've got to realize there's clearly a difference. And we don't just mean that biologically. We mean that psychologically. We mean it socially. We mean it in the way that God has made us. Now, I recently came across a sign that I saw in a store. And this sign said, deadly terms used by a woman. So I wrote them down for you. Deadly terms. The first one is fine. This word fine. Now what that means is this is a word used by women to end an argument when she knows she's right and you need to stop talking. Fine. Fine. Here's the second word. Nothing. Nothing. That means something and you should be worried. Okay? If they just say nothing. How about this one? The next one is this. Go ahead. Do not confuse this with permission. Okay? If a woman says, go ahead, it's a dare and don't even think about it. Okay? The fourth one is whatever. That's a woman's way of calling you an idiot. Whatever. How about this one? That's okay. Yeah, what that means is she's thinking long and hard on how and when you will pay for your mistake. Well, that's okay. Now, here's the bonus word on this sign that I saw. Wow. Okay, this is not a compliment. She's amazed that you could be so clueless. So we have different ways of communicating. So I thought that was funny. So in light of that, we're going to offer some classes here at church. Okay, so we're going to start having new classes for men. And I have to underscore the fact this is for men only. Okay, so new classes we're going to start offering. Topic number one, differences between the laundry basket and the floor. And there's going to be pictures and graphics. Okay, that's the first topic for this class. Topic number two, the after-dinner cleanup, washing dishes. There's going to be examples and videos. The third class is going to be loss of identity, losing the remote to your significant other. There's going to be a helpline and support groups for that one. The fourth topic in this class is learning how to find things. Start with looking in the right place instead of turning the house upside down while screaming. This is going to be an open forum. We'll talk about that. Topic number five is going to be a health watch. Bringing her flowers is not harmful to your health. There's going to be a nice round table discussion to talk about that. Topic number six, real men ask for directions when lost. And we're going to actually have some real life testimonials on that one. Topic number seven, is it genetically impossible to sit quietly as she parallel parks? Okay, we'll have a driving simulation on that. Topic number eight, learning to live, basic differences between mother and wife. And if you're married with children, you know that's important. So there'll be an online class and some role playing. Topic number nine, how to be the ideal shopping companion. Relaxation exercises, meditation, and breathing techniques. And the 10th topic is this, how to fight cerebral atrophy, remembering birthdays, anniversaries, other important dates, and calling when you're not going to be late. Cerebral shock therapy sessions and full lobotomies will be authored. So that's Those are the evening classes for men. But so in light of the differences, I think we should offer some evening classes for women. Again, I have to underscore, this is for women only, okay? So topic number one, man management, waiting for household chores to be completed after the game. It's going to be a helpline and support groups for that one. Topic number two, bathroom etiquette. Does he really need space too? So we got to have some graphics and video to show you. Topic number three, advanced bathroom etiquette. His razor is his. We're going to have some illustrations available for you on that. Topic number four, introduction to parking. What are those lines for? This is going to be an open discussion. Topic number five, telephone skills, how to hang up. We're actually going to have a slide presentation to demonstrate that. Topic number six is on communication. Is it possible to have a conversation with someone who never talks? Some real life testimonies on that. Now, topic number seven is advanced communication. Silence, the final frontier, where no woman has gone before. You know, this is an online class, okay? Topic number eight, household dust, a harmless natural occurrence only women notice. We'll have some role playing for that one. Topic number nine, dealing with his colored blindness. It is true, laundry should not be thrown all together. So we're going to have some real examples on display. And topic number 10, TV remotes. No, that class is offered for men only. So these are our classes for men and for women. But let me give you a biblical perspective just so we can see the difference between men and women. So God has created us equal. It's very, very clear. But I really believe that biblically, and I'm going to show you the scriptures, why God has created us differently and what that actually looks like. And so I want to invite you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. It says, "So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Now, I know this is in the context of marriage, but I think it's very apropos to say that men and women are different. And so I want to just underscore this. You'll notice this, that the Bible says that the man, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And so at the root, at the core of every woman is a longing for and a need for love. And so this is why in this passage, Paul tells men to love women unconditionally, to love them like he loves himself. Because at the deep core of every woman is a desire and a longing to be loved. And then it says, and the wife must respect her husband. I want to submit to you that at the core of every man is a desire to be respected. Now, let's say very quickly, we're not saying that a man doesn't have a core to be loved. Of course he does. We're not saying that a woman doesn't have a desire to be respected. Of course she does. So there's certainly overlap, but what I want to show you is that I believe God created us with this deep core as far as who we are as men and who we are as women. So I really believe that at the core of every man, they long to be respected. At the core of every woman, she just wants to know that she's been loved. In fact, I would submit, as I started really thinking about this, that many of the arguments that I've had with my wife is because deep down I felt like she wasn't respecting me. And then when I took a step back, I started realizing many of our arguments was because in the argument, she somehow didn't feel like that I loved her and that I appreciated her. And so at the core of who we are, I believe God created men to long for and to need respect, and women to long for and to need love. Now, there's three things, and I'm going to show you this next week when we develop this, but there's three things about men that I believe that God created us for. And I'm going to show it to you biblically next week, but I'll just summarize it here. First, a man is designed to protect. You were designed, men, to protect your wives, to protect your children, to protect women. God just created us that way. Secondly, you were created to provide. Okay? God has created you to provide for your family. Now, again, we're not saying that the woman can't provide. We're not even saying that a man has to make more than his wife. Both can be in the workforce, but at the core of who a man is, he is created to provide. I've noticed this over the years, that if a man doesn't have a solid job and he's not contributing and providing for his family, it really erodes and affects his identity, because God created him. His wife might work as well. They might both have careers. But if he doesn't, it really erodes his identity. Now, flip that around. I would say this. My experience in life has been, if a woman doesn't if she's not necessarily providing, but she's a homemaker, she's very fulfilled in that. And again, you understand what I'm saying? You can be involved in both, but at the core of identity. So a man is created, designed to protect. He's designed to provide, and he's created for a purpose. God has made you men for a purpose. And number one, you need to figure out what your purpose is and tie it to the kingdom. But when you begin to realize what your purpose is in life is, then there's going to be meaning. Then there's going to be fulfillment. So whatever your career is, and then you begin to tie that to kingdom purpose, it's going to be very meaningful. You're going to feel very significant. God created you that way. So there's three things that I believe a man is designed, made for, and created: to protect, to provide, and for purpose. Now, a woman longs for and needs love. And so the first one is that she's created for commitment. There's something about where God has created a woman to commit. Again, to be clear, we're not saying that men don't commit, but there is a grace on women for commitment, and I'm going to demonstrate that to you. Secondly, she was made to care. Again, it doesn't mean that a man doesn't care, but a woman tends to really care and have compassion. You can see that when it comes to raising your children. I love my kids, and I want to be there for them in every possible way, but there's a grace on a mother that just has insight and wisdom and care to raise children. The third one is that she's designed to communicate. Again, to reiterate, we're not saying that men don't communicate, but there is something about a woman that God has graced her with in order to communicate. And I believe this, if a man can really understand who he is, and a woman can understand what her role is, that there's going to be harmony. You'll have a greater peace about who you are, and you'll have a greater peace in your marriage and with the women or the men that you have relationship with. So let me break it down for you, and I'm going to invite you to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs is a wonderful book. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful pericope on the wife of noble character. Now, contextually, he's talking about wives, but I know that we can apply this for all women. And I want you to take note of some things with me. So let's read Proverbs 31, and we'll read verses 10 to 19. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Let me pause right there. You can see she's an entrepreneur. You can see that when I talk about the roles of women, it has nothing to do with the kind of career she may have, or she could be a high-powered business person, but we're talking about her identity at the core of who she is. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindles with her fingers. And so you'll notice here that she is committed. She is committed, committed to working hard, committed to her family, committed to her husband if she's married. There's a reason why the Lord said that a man will leave his father and mother and go to his wife. There's a sense of deep commitment that a woman has for the Lord, but also for her family. Most of the women that I know, most of the moms that I know, they become very protective and intense when it comes to their children, when it comes to their home. This is the way that God has created them and designed them. So she's created for commitment. She has a passion for the Lord. She has a passion for her husband, but she has a passion for her family, for her children. There is a deep sense of commitment. Now, a couple of things that I would just recommend and highlight, because ladies, you have this this grace on you for commitment, commitment to your families, to the Lord, commitment to the church. I think that there's a reason why many times women are very committed in the church because God has designed them for commitment. So I would say this, find pleasure in loving the Lord. Find pleasure in loving the Lord. Listen to Psalm 37, verses 4 to 5. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. So commit everything that you do to the Lord. Let that be the number one thing. God has created you to commit. So your first commitment is to that of the Lord, that you would prioritize. Say, God, You're number one. I am committed to You, and take pleasure, delight in loving the Lord. First, work on your relationship with the Lord. And if your relationship with the Lord increases and flourishes and blossoms, you're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better mother. You're going to be a better friend. But commit and delight and take pleasure in your relationship with the Lord. That's the first thing. And then find pleasure in loving and serving people. So find pleasure in loving God and committing to the Lord, but find pleasure in loving and serving people. Listen to Colossians 3, verse 23. This is the New Living Translation. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So when you're really serving others, what the writer is saying here is that you are serving the Lord. You're serving Christ, but you're serving the people in your family. And so take pleasure in that. I would say that you probably get very, very weary doing some things around the house. You probably get very, very weary doing some of the things that are mundane, taking care of your kids. But if you could say, you know what, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. Take pleasure in that, and then God will give you longevity. And so you do it as unto the Lord. You do it for them because you love them, but God has put a deep sense of commitment in you. But make sure that you're committing yourself to the Lord. This sense of commitment is absolute surrender and priority to the Lord. So find pleasure. Find your delight in loving the Lord. And I would say this, that many, many women do very well at having a relationship with their Heavenly Father. In fact, my observation and my experiences in the ministry has often been that women seem to be able to have a better revelation of that than men. Men, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not saying it's not possible. But I think that just emotionally and the way they're created for commitment, there's a sense of intimacy with the Father. And so delight. And if you're here today, ladies, and you have not had that sense of connection with the Lord as a Heavenly Father, then pull the curtain back in your heart and ask the Lord why. Because it probably goes back to your relationship with your earthly father. Ask Him to heal you of that and really begin to realize that God can be your Abba. He can be your daddy. He can be your Heavenly Father. And when you get that relationship right, my dear sister, what's going to happen is your relationship with the men in your life are going to begin to blossom and flourish. The relationship with your children are going to blossom and flourish. So take delight in the Lord, and then take delight in serving people. Ask the Lord to give you the right perspective as to why you're doing this. I'm sure you get weary if you have little children, taking care of them. I'm sure you get weary of taking care of the things that God has put in front of you to take care of. But if you'll do it as unto the Lord, He'll give you the grace and the strength to do that. Now, I would say this. We read that this woman is worth far more than rubies. So I would suggest that you try to understand your value. Try to understand your value. When you get all worn out with the mundaneness of life and all the chores and activities and serving other people, you start feeling like you've been taken for granted. If we put a show of hands in here, we'd probably have a lot of ladies that would say, you know what, I feel like I've been taken advantage of, or I'm taken for granted, or nobody shows their appreciation. And so in the mundaneness of life, you have to remind yourself over and over that you're valuable. And that goes into this root part of you where you say, you know what, if He's my Heavenly Father and I take delight in Him and I take delight in serving, then remind yourself that you are valuable. Try and remember how valuable you are. You read this scripture, and she understood her value before the Lord, but she understood her value with her husband, with her family. So really try to understand your value. So these first verses, I see the commitment. I see that she gets up early to work for her family. She provides food for her family. She starts a business. She is working hard. There is incredible commitment in her life. And so there's something remarkable about you, ladies, where the Lord has created you and designed you for commitment, for faithfulness. You know, there's a reason. There's so much I could say. We just don't have time for it. But you'll remember at the fall, one of the things that God told Eve is that she would have a love for her husband. There's this sense of a love, a faithfulness, of commitment to her husband, to her family. God has designed her. That's why women are so fulfilled oftentimes in having a family. Now, I want to put up a qualifier. Maybe not everyone has that calling, but many women do have that calling to be married, to have children, to raise kids, and to have a family. So a woman is created for commitment. The second thing is that a woman is made to care. She is really made to care. So again, to be clear, we're not saying that men aren't committed or faithful. We're not saying that men don't care. But there's an overarching fundamental thing that I see biblically that a woman is designed to really care. They have a grace on them. So listen to Proverbs 31, and starting with verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I think it's remarkable how much compassion and care that women have, especially for children, especially for those that are hurting, and especially for those that are in need. So, ladies, I really encourage you to ask the Lord for compassion. Compassion comes from the Lord. He designed you to care. Ask the Lord for compassion. Sometimes we'll counsel a new mom, and she might feel a little overwhelmed by the task. And then a second child comes, and then a third child, or if you're like me, it's a fourth child that comes. And so a newborn, a mom with a newborn, might feel a little bit overwhelmed. And they may not have even grown up with a sense of caring, but ask the Lord. Compassion comes from the Lord. And so ask the Lord that he would give you compassion. Ask him to help you to care. Listen to Ephesians 4, verse 32 out of the NIV. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So he designed you to care, but the compassion comes, the empathy comes from the Lord. He has designed you for that. He has created you for that. So ask the Lord for compassion. Secondly, ask the Lord for the strength to give. You need his strength to continually give to your family. That's got to come from the Lord. You might feel maxed out. You might feel like, especially let's say you have a career, you have a job, and you're raising little ones. You might feel maxed out. And so you got to ask the Lord not only for compassion, but ask the Lord for the strength to be able to continue to give. And I just want to speak that over you moms. You, most of the people in our church, both spouses work. Both are working very, very hard. And so it takes a tremendous amount of strength and grace to be able to do it. But God will give you the strength. He's going to give you the grace to be able to do it, to work as a team, as a husband and wife, and to be able to raise your children. And so ask the Lord for strength, strength to give. Listen to John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So it's very, very Christ-like to lay your life down for your children, to lay your life down for your family, to lay your life down for others. And so you lay your life down for your friends. That's the greatest love that you can have. So ask God for the strength and the grace to be able to do that. He wants to release that to you. So ask the Lord for compassion. Ask the Lord for strength to give. Now, I said in our previous point that you should try to remember how valuable you are. Because when you're working hard, you tend to forget that. Well, in this case, I would say try and take care of yourself. Try and take care of yourself. Some of you are in the most busy area and time of your life right now. If you're working a job and you've got little ones, it's one of the busiest times. And you know what happens? You push yourself to the bottom. And it makes sense, rightly so, right? When my kids were little, I realized, wow, this is the busiest time that I am. But what I tended to do was push myself to the bottom. And I've noticed that about moms a lot. You push yourself to the bottom, you're taking care of everybody else. So try, with the grace of your husband and the help of your husband, to say, you know what, let's take care of you, where you have some time. So try to take care of yourself, because you're taking care of so many other people. So a woman is designed for commitment. She's designed to care. And the third is this, she's designed to communicate. Listen to verses 26 to 31. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, as he praises her, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And so a woman is designed to communicate. Now, some psychologists, there have been some studies that women use a lot more words than men. And so you are good at communicating. God designed you to communicate. So I would just give a couple of things about communication. Number one, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. If you have a lot of words, then you got to be careful what you say. And so listen to Proverbs 21 and verse 18. This is out of the Good News Translation. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. Most translations say their power. There's the power of life or death in the tongue. I thought this was refreshing. You can preserve your life or destroy it destroy it. So accept the consequences of your word. So be very, very careful with what you say. Your words are powerful, especially to the people you love. So to your spouse, to your children, or just your friends. Your words are incredibly powerful. So be very, very careful what you say, especially if you have a lot of words. Ask the Lord to help you to grow and to say, you know what, I don't always have to weigh in or say something. Ask the Lord to help you to know when to speak, but also when to not speak. Now, communication is twofold, isn't it? It's speaking, but it's also listening. If you're a good communicator, then you're good at expressing yourself, but you're also good at listening. And so you got to really, if you have a lot of words, you got to also learn to listen. And that takes practice. So be careful what you say, but be careful to listen. Are you really listening to your kids? Or do you just tell them what to do all the time? Are you really listening to your husband? Or are you just talking to him? Communication is speaking, but also listening. Listen to Proverbs 18:13. This is out of the Good News Translation as well. Listen before you answer. Not easy to do, is it? If you don't, you're being stupid and insulting. And so we have to really learn to listen. It takes practice. You know, if you're interacting with somebody, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you know the other person's not listening? They're just thinking about what they're going to say. In fact, you can even see like they're just waiting for the inroad to talk. You're really probably not listening. And so it takes practice to listen to what the person says. You know, you communicate in many different ways. You communicate with your words, you communicate by listening, you communicate with your countenance, with your body language. There's many ways that you can communicate. You might not say the words, but somebody can see the displeasure on your face. And so we have to learn to communicate and learn to listen. It's not easy, but God can really give us grace. And so I've given a try for each one of these. I said the first point, try to understand your value. Secondly, I said, try and take care of yourself. Third, try and be positive. In other words, try to get rid of the critical eye. You know, when you're, especially if you're a mom, it's real easy to notice what everybody's doing wrong. Notice what the kids are doing wrong. You start having that critical eye. Notice what your husband's doing wrong. By the way, let me say this, ladies. Try not to confuse your husband with your children. I know that's hubris, but it often comes out in a humorous way as my wife is talking to me and she names me one of the boys or the children. It comes out in a humorous way, but try not to just throw your husband in with the children. There's a big difference. And so try and be positive. So it's easy to develop the critical eye and see what everybody needs to do. You're good. You're good at the house. You're good at making your home. You're good at all of the things you do, but really try to eliminate the critical eye and try to be positive. And we're not saying that you shouldn't point out some things, but try to be positive. Your words bring life or death. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we forget how, especially when our kids are young, how powerful our words are. And so if we're always correcting and not encouraging, man, that can really, really be damaging. And so ask the Lord for grace to be able to do that. And so I submit this to you. There's a lot more that I could say about this and show you other scriptures, but I really do believe that a woman was created for commitment. And that's why she's extraordinary for the Lord, but also for her family. She's made to care. She has compassion. She has a grace on her that, frankly, we as men don't always have, especially when it comes to our children and our families. And then she's designed to communicate. She's a very, very good communicator. She brings the family together, brings the relationship together. Now, you might be here, ladies, and think, well, I don't feel very good at some of those things. You know what? You can be healed. It's probably because of some pain. You can grow. But I believe that God created, if you realize what God created you for, then you can begin to come into divine alignment with His creation and say, that's who He created me, and I want to learn and grow in that. Does that make sense? And so that's what I believe a woman is created for. So I would say this, how then do we bless the women in our life? I would encourage you to think about today, how can you bless the women in your life? How can you bless your mom? How can you bless your wife? How can you bless your friends? How can you bless the women in your life based on the things we've said? Well, one, I would say listen to them and share your thoughts and your feelings with them. If a woman is truly created to communicate, no wonder, men, she's frustrated if you're not communicating. God's created her to bring the family together, to bring relationship together. So, men, you got to start opening up. You got to start listening to your wife. But she's also looking for you to share your heart, your thoughts, and your feelings. So if you come home from work and you plop down in front of the TV and you just grunt, one grunt means I'm hungry, two grunt means I'm tired, you know, you've missed it. You know, the Lord wants you to work on communicating, sharing your thoughts, identifying your feelings, being transparent, and talking about that. We can really grow in that. And so that's for all of the women in our lives, that we learn to share our thoughts and our feelings with them. You know, for those of you that your mom is still alive, she longs for that. She just wants to be a part of your life. She wants to know what's happening in your life. She wants you to just share what's happening in your life. She wants to be included. That's what most moms, and especially as they get older in the twilight years of their life, they just want to be included in your life and in your children's lives. So that's really, really important. So share your thoughts and your feelings. Listen to the women in your life. You know, if your mom is still living today, and especially if she's in the twilight years of her life, you know, just sit and listen to her. Ask her questions. Talk to her. Let her share. She will value that. That will just run deep into her heart, I promise you. I promise you. The second thing is support. How are you going to bless the women in your life? Support what they care about. Support what they care about. So if you're in a season where you're raising your children, you're going to notice your wife really cares about the kids. So support them. If you're a smart man, you'll support them. You'll support what she cares about. Support the ministries that she's passionate about, the things that she cares. She is a compassionate person. She cares. So the best thing you can do for the women in your life is to support what they care about. Get behind your wife, get behind your mom, get behind the women in your life and support them. Let them know that you support what they care about. I think many of us as men, we miss it sometimes because we're really not finding out what our wives or the women in our life care about, and we're not supporting them. If we're really honest, men, we've become a little tunneled down and we become a little bit selfish. And so we need to be thinking about what they care about. And the third one is this, help them fulfill their commitments. They were designed for commitment. So they're committed to you, they're committed to their families. Whatever their commitments are in the ministry, empower them, help them fulfill whatever commitments they have. Be the person that supports them financially, that supports them with your heart, supports them with your words, with your actions. Support the women in your life, the things that are important to them, the commitments. Help them fulfill their commitments. Okay, now I'm going to give you, I know this isn't a teaching on marriage per se, but men, I'm going to tell you this, if you want some insight, okay? If you will do those things, I'll repeat them. If you will listen, for example, listen to your wife, share your thoughts and your hearts, okay, with them, support what they care about, help them fulfill their commitments, you know what? Women find that very attractive, extremely attractive, okay? If you're single, you don't have to listen to this right now. But it's good for you because you're going to be married one day, maybe. You might get married, right? But you want your wife to be attracted to you? Play with your children. Take care of your children. Get involved in your children's lives. And you'll see that your wife finds that extremely attractive. Extremely attractive. When you're there as a husband, when you're there as a father. That was just a free little something for you. Amen? So how do you bless the women in your life? Listen to them. Share your thoughts and feelings with them. Support what they care about. Help them fulfill their commitments. Amen? So in conclusion, I just want to say this. We're going to finish by praying for and blessing our moms. That's what we're going to do. Amen? So let's stand to our feet. Equal but different, the role of women.